A city is stronger together. So let's hear from the business and community leaders that keep Milwaukee on the upswing. Presented by Horicon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Now here's the host that's always on the upswing, WTMJ's Jeff Sherman.
Now, to business, gentlemen.
Welcome to the upswing. It's the Father's Day weekend edition. An idea I always have for Dad, just buy him a bar tab, right? Go to the local watering hole that he loves, set him up, surprise him the next time he goes in with his friends. Like, the tab is taken care of. He'll love it, trust me. But there's a lot of other gift ideas on the table. We're going to walk through some of those on the show today. And speaking of bars, there's a place in downtown Milwaukee called My Office, just a beloved dive bar on Milwaukee Street. It closed in 2020, but it opened originally in 1968, had this reputation as this classic no-frills dive bar. It's going to reopen under a new name, Your Office. The owners of this establishment are going to join us in studio today. And then later in the show, we're going to go out west to Delafield, where Wingman Gifts and Supply flies its retail flag. Steve Nelson is the owner of this really creative, unique, kind of a dad-centric store. Steve's going to give us his thoughts on Father's Day gifts, shopping for, whoever, the grandfather, the father, a guy in your life, whomever, actually. It's a really wonderful, curated retail experience, and Steve has some amazing insights on how you build community through retail. Welcome back to the Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. There is an iconic dive bar in downtown Milwaukee, right on Milwaukee Street between Mason Street and Wells Street. It closed in 2020, but is undergoing a revitalization right now. And we are honored to be joined by the three owners that are bringing this wonderful space back to life. Lisa Praber, Nick Starr, and Michael Sorge. Lisa, Nick, Mike, thanks for taking the time to be in studio with us today.
Thanks for having us, Jeff.
So give us a bit on your backgrounds. You really kind of intersect from a creative blend of business, restaurant, dining, downtown residents association, Lisa. Give us your backgrounds quick, and what drew you to this unique project?
Yeah, I'll start with that. It's definitely a dynamic threesome here, and So Nick Starr, risk advisor at Acrisure, formerly the Starr Group, longtime Milwaukee resident. I've been living downtown for about 15 years. Okay. Grew up in Franklin, so I've known the landscape well between the Upper East Side, the Third Ward. Been a fan of Milwaukee's dive bars. We have a lot of them, and they're fantastic. So had been to My Office back in the day, was a patron there. The space has been vacant, so I was immediately attracted to it. We're MAC members, Lisa and I are, so we were always seeing the space vacant, and the mind just got moving.
You're like, when I'm walking out of the Milwaukee Athletic Club, I'm like, I need to go somewhere else, and you're like, woo, you could see the vision.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. Members there, we're looking for kind of a neighborhood bar. The area's been a little barren, so we were excited to explore what that could look like, and here we are. I met Lisa through the Milwaukee Athletic Club.
Yeah, I think we met at an owner's group. I became an entrepreneur a few years ago and own a sales and marketing agency, was doing a little performance at an owner's group, and Nick was in the crowd, and then he saw me again at the MAC. So then a few weeks later, he comes up to me and he goes, "You want to open a bar with me?" And I'm like, "Yeah.
Let's buy an iconic dive bar in downtown Milwaukee and rejuvenate it." But I'm guessing you needed kind of that restaurant expertise. And Mike, that's kind of where you come in, right?
Yeah, so that's where I come in. Been in Milwaukee since 2004. Moved from upstate New York to work for a relative's business. Been doing this for 22 years. And when Nick came to me with this opportunity, I jumped at it. My office was such a great place, so many memories. Even now that we've released this information, everybody's coming to me and saying, "Hey, I can't believe you're doing this. It's going to be amazing." So I'm going to be using some of the expertise that I've built in the past 20 years to make sure this thing works right. It's got to feel good. It's got to feel good consistently. The food's got to be great. And that's, you know, that's what we're going for.
So in terms of looking at the opportunity, I mean, you're taking over a space that closed in 2020. I kind of had the iconic name, right? My Office. It's got a fun play on words. It was a dive bar in some concepts, but also had pretty good food and was a gathering spot for not only people that live and work downtown, but really, I mean, a pretty good visitor destination as well. You got a new name and a new vision. How does it all come together with new ambiance, and how do you even kind of whiteboard what you want it to be?
Yeah, the space has gone through significant change. They had a loss there between some fire and some water damage. So the space needed a lot, but the foundation of it was still intact, i.e., you know, it's the same space. It's a beautiful space, the high ceilings. All the Cream City brick is exposed now, but what's great is it still has the original bar. And I think that's probably the most iconic piece that brings it all together. Mm-hmm. And our intent is to basically just refurbish that.
Okay.
Keep that intact. So take the old characteristics that we can. It was also well known for the green awning outside.
Yeah.
So we're keeping that. It was also well known for the window that flipped open and people could sit.
Yeah.
We're actually enhancing that. So
kind of one of the first like walk-up type windows in downtown. Yeah. Like it had that quality. Yeah.
Yes. So we're enhancing that by building the bar to the window so we can flip that open and just serve right out to the street.
Nice.
Activate that outdoor area.
Have you found any surprises as you're renovating it, like some old relics or menus or like notes on a napkin somewhere, Lisa?
God, I wish. Our marketing team's had a lot of fun with this one. And Mike, Nick, and I are, you asked about brainstorming. Any idea we've thrown out at each other, we all go, yes, yes, yes. So we are planning on the decor being old relics. So we really actually need everyone's help in Milwaukee.
Okay.
We want you to go to your grandpa's basement and look for his old 20 years at Rockwell plaque or the trophy for being a top seller at P&H. We want those for our decor. As far as the rebranding process, you know, I think you're going to see some similarities with the logo. You know, like Nick said, we got to keep some elements. We want it to be kind of the same office space, but the vibe is going to be super dive. You want to tell them a little bit about the awesome menu that you've got in your head?
Yeah, so the hours are going to be changing quite a bit. So we're going to be open probably around 7:30 or 8 o'clock in the morning.
Okay, all right. My office used to be a pretty good breakfast destination.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a place to go and have breakfast meetings. So that's good to know you'll be open in the mornings.
Yep. So we are, you know, we're contemplating opening the inside and outside for the morning. But to begin with, we'll be activating that window as a walk-up window. We can probably have an order ahead option as well.
Okay.
We're going to be doing egg sandwiches, short order breakfast, probably a few other sandwiches on there for breakfast. Something that you can hold in your hand and walk to the office.
Okay.
We'll have coffee as well.
Nice.
The lunch menu will probably switch over around 11 or 12 o'clock, probably 11. And then we'll be serving, you know, the hours of opening on the inside are a little bit up in the air right now. But burgers, bologna sandwiches, brats. We're going to do a breakfast brat on the breakfast menu.
Oh, nice.
So we're trying to do some Milwaukee staples for sure.
Okay.
And everybody loves a burger, right? So we're bringing that into it.
We're talking with Lisa Praber, Mike Sorge, and Nick Starr, the owners of Your Office, formerly My Office in downtown Milwaukee. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the visions and trends in neighborhood bars. What's evolving in 2025? Some of the trends that you guys are seeing in cocktails and drinking. And I want to dive in a little bit more on that menu, Mike, because you mentioned some interesting things. And I think people are going to be really interested to see and hear and taste what's coming at Your Office. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. The transformation of an iconic downtown location, My Office, changing into your office. The owners, Lisa Praber, Mike Sorge, and Nick Starr join us in studio. It's Father's Day weekend. It's kind of all about like beer, brats, and bars, right? That's, you know, that's what we're all about in Wisconsin and Milwaukee. So, Mike, you've been around the food and beverage space in Milwaukee for a long time. AJ Bombers, obviously Black Sheep now. How have you seen the role of the neighborhood bar evolve in your time in Milwaukee?
Yeah, so I've seen, since 2004, things have changed quite a bit, but essentially stayed a little bit the same too, right? Mm-hmm. I think the evolution has become a little bit more mixing, necessarily like the melting pot version of what a bar is now.
Yeah.
Milwaukee is a little bit separated into their little districts. The cool thing about being downtown and being central to downtown is that we have access to tourists. We have access to people that live in the neighborhood. We have college students that are around. We have people that work in the area. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be mixing all those groups together, mixing that with a lot of really great specials. Something that Milwaukee is known for, and I think that some of those daily specials have morphed over the years. I think some of the things that I saw way back, you know, in the 2000s were the, you know, all you can drinks and mm-hmm. a lot of that kind of like go for it
right,
specials.
Right, yeah,
I think we're gonna have those ones that keep you there, yeah. that keep it, I guess, a good environment still, where it's not a, you know, binge drinking fest.
Mm-hmm.
And have something for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, reality is that downtown Milwaukee is a neighborhood. There are, what, 35,000 people that live in downtown Milwaukee. But then, as you mentioned, you have that intersection of all the office workers, the tourists, people staying at hotels. So you really kind of want to offer something for everyone. But Lisa, when you think about that, how do you kind of look into like the trends in food, the trends in cocktails, the trends in entertainment? And how do you kind of serve everyone, but by also being truly yourself and unique? Because I'm guessing that's what you want to do with this place.
Well, let me tell you how we're going to show up uniquely. Everyone who comes in is going to be an employee at your office. You're going to have an employee of the month club. The more hours you put in, the bigger your bonus is going to be at the end of the month.
Ultimate co-working spot.
That's right. Our plan is to make it a whole vibe, a whole scene. A destination, you know, if you're talking about outsiders, mm-hmm. visitors coming into town, you know, no offense, but I think safe house out, your office is in. Oh my gosh.
There it is. The
Craig
competition,
Marcus
the competition is coming. Well, I mean, that's a really good point there, because I think in the food and beverage space and the hospitality space, especially in Greater Milwaukee, everyone knows everyone, right? There's a lot of collaboration, but there's a lot of competition too, right? Everyone wants that extra dollar. What does community mean to you, Nick, as you look at it from a hospitality standpoint? And then at the same time, kind of how do you, to Lisa's point, how do you plan to really stand out in a space that's, you know, the margins aren't getting any bigger in the bar business?
You have to make it attractive. And you have to make it appeal to that diverse audience that you're looking for. And that's the beautiful thing about a neighborhood bar, is it does just that. And that's what drew us all to this project, is that we're all lovers of other notable neighborhood dive bars in Milwaukee and what those bring. They bring characters. They bring fun. It's not just a place that you go and belly up at a bar. It can be, of course, but it's about meeting people there. You walk in there, you know half the people. And if you don't, you're comfortable talking to whoever's at the bar, and it could be someone from all walks of life.
Mm-hmm.
So it's making it attractive. It's taking the elements that we really appreciate about those places that we go to, but then it's also going to be about listening to the people that are coming in and finding out, hey, why are you coming in, or what could we be doing better? What is attracting you here? And that's how we evolve to the changing community, which is changing in Milwaukee, but that's a really exciting thing that we're looking to capture. The three of us love bringing people together and creating a space where they flourish, and that's exactly what your office is meant to be doing.
And, you know, your office, whether I'm here at my workspace at Good Karma Brands at WTMJ, communication is so key, and it's so key for servers and bartenders. When you kind of look to the hiring aspect, What are you really looking to do to build community at a new place?
Man, that's that is the question that everybody wants to know, right? We, you know, a neighborhood bar, right? So you want somebody that feels like your neighbor working there. That has been a big change in a lot of businesses that I've seen that are successful. They're not just hiring a body to be behind the bar. They're hiring somebody that feels like, you know, if it's a hiring manager, a little bit like themselves, that they're doing a good job. Something that I strive for when hiring is that neighborhood feel. Like hospitality in general is the opportunity for you to treat everybody like a neighbor or like a relative or welcome them in your home, same as you would on the other side going into somebody else's home. That's what you're going to feel when you walk in. It's going to be a friendly face. There's going to be smiles on the faces, good conversation.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a very consistent staff, too. Yeah. And, you know, we want those people to be the same people working the same days, so you know what to expect when you walk in, and there's always good conversation. We will have we're hoping to bring in some of the old staff. I would love to bring in some of the old staff.
Oh, yeah, that'd be
great. That would be amazing. We're going to do some celebrity bartending opportunities for charity as well. To kind of tie all those things together, try to make it a little bit more of a community and be a good steward of the neighborhood.
All right. Very good. When we come back, we're going to dive in a little bit into some Father's Day questions. We're going to talk about some of their favorite places in downtown Milwaukee to eat and drink and have a good time. This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Our guests in studio, Lisa Praber, Mike Sorge, Nick Starr, the owners of Your Office in downtown Milwaukee, right on Milwaukee Street between Mason and Wells Street. Been closed since 2020, but it's going to be open very soon. I need to ask that question first. Like, what do you anticipate for an opening day?
It's a great question. We'd like to know ourselves. We're anticipating sometime between mid-August and early September.
Okay.
Everything continues to trend in the right direction. If it was up to us, we would have already been open.
Okay.
But we're working as quickly and as fast as we can to capture a portion of the summer.
Very good. And as you work hard to capture kind of all the nostalgia that is in this space, how do you really stay true to what a dive bar is, but at the same time, maybe modernize it a little bit? Just kind of level set with us, like, what's a dive bar and what are some of those things that everyone walking into your office to check in for the day is going to need to have?
So I've been really liking the term high dive in the sense of it's got all of your dive bar vices with a slightly higher end aesthetic.
Okay.
Dive bar vices being, you know, your shake of the day, your bar dice, your pickled eggs, your gambling machines, your darts, things that you can just go with a group of people or by yourself and get to know the bar by participating in these fun neighborly events that might lead to taking a shot or a pickled egg, who knows what the stakes are. But just that fun vibe, not quite peanuts on the floor, but, you know, the chip racks, the beef jerky. We might have some cigarettes behind the bar kind of a thing. Did I miss anything, guys?
You got to take them to the go, though.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Not inside. Right. Yes. No.
No sticky floor, though.
Right. I say slightly higher end aesthetic, meaning you just don't stick to the floor.
All right. So as you look at the downtown bar scene, what's your favorite Milwaukee bar, obviously, other than the one that you're creating right now? Lisa?
Oh, my God. It's the hardest decision I've ever had to make. I love bars. I would say right now I just am feeling Tiki Bar. It's my vibe. I'm right down the street.
All right. The Tiki Bar right outside the Milwaukee Public Market.
Yeah.
All right. It's always packed, seemingly.
And
yes.
And it always feels like it's on vacation, and a margarita and a half will put me flat on the street. Someone will have to drag me home. But it's not that far from my house. So.
Very good. Mike?
We've been going to Charlie's in the Third Ward for, I want to say, 16 years.
Okay.
Something like that.
Another really good one with great food and
high-level
service,
yes.
too.
Yeah. We love going there. We know all the staff that works there. We've had every item on the menu, and we're not disappointed. And we keep going back. We always find ourselves there at least once a week.
All right, Nick?
So Lisa and I fought over this because we both have special ties to it. But Just Art Saloon in the Third Ward on 2nd Street. I ultimately won this because Art was at my wedding.
All right.
So I lived in the area and got to know him over the span of a decade. We still go there today. And if you haven't been, it's probably because the place looks like it's been abandoned for about 20 years. But it hasn't.
Nice.
Great place, great personality. You got to go.
I mean, that just furthers that sense that there is true community in the bar and restaurant space in Milwaukee. Everyone knows everyone, and you pick a little bit from this place, a little bit from that place, but you go to other places because you want to support.
Do you think we could get Art to celebrity bartend? Yeah.
If you think I haven't already asked that and tried to bribe him when I've been there, I have.
We're throwing it out here right now on the upswing.
Please, Art.
We're listening. Bringing together the bartenders at your office in downtown Milwaukee. So it's Father's Day weekend, and I wanted to ask each one of you, what's a lesson from your father that you learned that's really going to inspire you forward as you put together this new establishment and this kind of new iconic venue for downtown Milwaukee? Lisa?
Well, my dad taught me how to shotgun a beer, so I think that's going to come in really handy in the bar scene. But really, he's an entrepreneur, so I feel that helps me with my own serial entrepreneurism.
Very good. Yeah. Mike?
My first job was for my dad, so he taught me a lot of stuff. He taught me to bartend at an Italian restaurant in upstate New York. Nice. I learned all the classic cocktails, learned everything, and kind of fell in love with that version that he loved, which was seeing a smile on somebody's face, serving people. He really enjoyed that, did it for 55 years. Hmm. A lot of that from him.
I love it. Nick?
My dad taught me about the unwritten rule in Milwaukee, where you don't have to be of drinking age if you're with a parent. but on a serious note, we've worked together professionally. So I'm the third generation of what was Star Group.
Okay.
So he's been, a mentor, obviously the second generation. So we've worked together professionally for 15 years and beyond that. So my business acumen, a lot of what's translated into being able to do something like this has been from a lot of the lessons that I've learned from him.
Very good. Lisa Praber, Mike Sorge, Nick Starr, the owners of the coming soon, towards the end of the summer, your office on Milwaukee Street right here in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. Finally, just where can listeners and fans, where can we go for updates?
That is an awesome question. We have a newsletter list started, so go ahead and go to our website, which is yourofficemke.com. We're also going to be very active on Facebook and Instagram.
Okay.
Same handle, yourofficemke. And, drop us a line. We're super excited to have some really fun hashtags out there and, promote all of our employees of the month. So come and try your best to be employee of the month.
Very good. All the best with the construction and the build out, and we'll be there very soon. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. It is Father's Day weekend. We're in downtown Milwaukee. We're going to go out west to Delafield, where Wingman Gifts and Supplies flies its retail flag. A really cool, I think I can call it a dad-centric store, really full of Father's Day inspiration, really cool gift ideas and more. The owner of the store, Steve Nelson, joins us in studio. Steve, I appreciate you taking time out of your day.
Hey, thank you so much for having me down. I appreciate it.
Of course. So give us a quick overview of Wingman's, the mission, and kind of your unique approach to men's retail.
Yeah, so Wingman Gifts, we started it probably about 4 years ago.
Okay.
And our mission really is to just offer really high quality men's gift items. We're not a clothing store,
okay.
So we're not selling shirts and pants and things like that. But I tell people this: there's a couple ends of the spectrum on the men's retail side. You have sporting goods and hardware on one end, then you have shoes and clothing, and we're in the middle. So we have a lot of what I call daily use items that everybody kind of needs to have at some point. And that's the stuff that we focus on. We try to make it high quality. You buy it once, you use it well, it serves you. And some of the pieces can be handed down as heirloom.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's the thing for Father's Day or similar holidays. Like, you want to be unique. You want to have that personal touch for dad. And sometimes it's just hard. So you default to maybe the hardware store or the gift card or whatever. And that's fine.
Yep.
But you've curated a pretty interesting mix of items that you're not going to find on Amazon.
No, I hear it pretty much daily. People that are first timers to the store, they do a circle through and then they come back and they go, this is really unique. Like, how did you, where did you, you know, a lot of questions come up. And yeah, we try to just have good stuff that dads, sons, actually, I try to hit like three generations. I would love it to see, you know, grandpa, dad, and the kids come in. Because we have a kids corner. We try to make it very family friendly. And yeah.
Yeah, all right. So talk a bit about your personal journey, Steve, as what was your career before this? How did you come up with the idea? And how did it shape the vision of what the store is today? And then I have to ask you about just the name Wingman.
Sure, sure. I worked in video production for about 25 years, actually not too far from these studios, both ways, to the south in the Third Ward and to the north on Jefferson. I worked mostly as an editor and in some pretty high-end companies, which is pretty cool. So I got to work on national campaigns, you know, for sports, all kinds of, you know, stores, things like that, local, regional. And then, I don't know, I took a job in Madison, worked there for several years, and it was just time for a change. So I started my own little one-man shop, and during that time, I got very sick, and we didn't know why. It took 2 years to figure out it was Lyme disease, which was pretty debilitating. So I had to stop working, got that treated over a period of like 5 or 6 years. So I did not work for that time. A lot had changed in the video industry, and I was kind of one of the older guys. I started in the days with tape machines, tape to tape, and big rooms, you know, with all kinds of machinery, and now it's all on one computer, which is fine. And I did that for many years and enjoyed it. But I didn't have it in me to go back and relearn some of the newer things that had come up. And I had this idea for probably about 10 years at this time. And my wife and I, you know, did our due diligence, and it was just kind of time to say, you know what, let's try it. And what we saw was kind of a hole in the men's retail market. Again, that spectrum of one side you have this, one side you have this, and then everything else is available, but you have to go to, you know, 10 different stores to find these types of products. So what we did was, my wife would call it like the Sound of Music. These are a few of my favorite things. So I got into watches. I got into traditional shaving products. I got into everyday carry, which is like flashlights, pocket knives, pens, things like that. And then we just started curating, and, you know, it's been pretty fun.
How did you come up with the name Wingman?
You know, I wish there was some brilliant, inspiring story. It was pretty much just, as soon as I came up with the concept, I pictured the flight formation.
Okay.
And we are not the point. We are one of the several, you know, people or entities on the side of someone. You know, you're flying your life's mission. Mm-hmm. You know, you have other things that support you in that. And we're just one of those, you know, handful of places that, you know, we try to supply you with things that, you know, are practical, that are high quality. And again, sometimes it'll be an heirloom piece that's going to get passed down.
Yeah. There's a real, like, aspirational feeling at your store, I would say. Like, you walk in and not only like the curation of the books, but just the gear and the gift ideas. Yeah, like, you feel like, wow, you know, this is something I need to make myself a little bit better. We're talking with Steve Nelson. Steve is the owner of Wingman in Delafield. When we come back, we're going to dive into some of the trends in men's retail, and then we'll dive in specifically on some really creative ideas for dad for this Father's Day weekend. You're listening to The Upswing. This is WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. It's Father's Day weekend. You're looking for, maybe you're still looking for that unique gift for dad, or maybe you're listening to this after Father's Day and you're like, I need a birthday gift for dad. Steve is a men's retail expert. It's a store called Wingman in downtown Delafield. Been there about 4 years. So, Steve, as you look at trends in men's retail, kind of what's selling now, how do you analyze that on a day-to-day basis? And also then, I got to talk to you about your shaving products. Because when I come in, I shave my head every morning. I'm like, wow, sure. You're doing that old school shaving stuff.
Yeah. As far as trends go, we're kind of anti, well, I won't say anti-trend, yeah. But we're not necessarily in that stream.
Okay.
I will change up product lines once in a while, but really what we're trying to stick to is kind of, I call it everyday use.
Okay.
So everybody needs, you know, certain items, and we curate those. I get really good quality stuff. I usually try everything myself, and we bring those types of items in. We will, you know, we're adding stuff all the time. Sometimes things cycle through and they're doing well and then they die off. So we have to, you know, kind of push those to the side and bring something new in, which is fun.
Yeah.
I love looking for new stuff. So,
what are some of your top recommendations for gifts for this year?
Some of our best sellers, I have a wallet here from Holland. This is called Secred. It's got an RFID case to protect your chip information.
Okay.
It's got a lever. You pull the lever and your cards fan out. They're all made
of the old school wallet, but with some high end technology.
Exactly.
Built into it.
That's my best selling thing in the whole store.
Okay.
A little bit less pricey, but extremely useful is we have these nail clippers. I know this is kind of funny, but fingernail and toenail clippers.
Dad needs those.
No, seriously. When I share this information with wives and moms, they instantly pick up a package.
Okay.
It's made Japan, very sharp, known for cutlery, swords, you know, stuff that, knives. But it captures the clippings.
Okay.
And then you tap them out.
Nice.
So it's great for I call it a marriage and family saver.
Okay. Very good.
So that's pretty good. We have amazing socks. And I know some people kind of laugh at socks as like, you know, just a no brainer, but honestly, I have people coming in and buying. These are not like really cheap, but they are amazingly comfortable and stylish.
As a dad, I'm going to say, get me socks over a tie. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Right? Yeah, not as many ties being sold these days, but socks all the time.
Okay.
And another really good item is this grill brush that we have. It doesn't have wire bristles.
Okay.
This is made by a former firefighter who went to a lot of emergency calls with people that had ingested the wires, and that's not a good thing. So this is a sponge. It basically washes your grill grate, and that's a really good seller too.
Nice. And I've noticed as I've come into the store, you have a whole section with really interesting old school shaving products too.
Yep.
Are you finding that men are looking for that kind of higher end shaving experience still? Is that not a trend, but is that still like what men are seeking? Like, don't just give me the Bic, give me something quality.
I still have guys coming in that, you know, are going to hang on to their,
okay.
their yellow Bic
all
that
right.
I learned on back in the 70s and 80s. But what we're finding, there's a few reasons that people want to switch over to what we call a safety razor, which was the next iteration after an open blade, straight razor, they call that, and a brush.
Okay.
Sometimes it's nostalgia. Hey, grandpa or my dad, and that looks cool. I'm going to try it. You know, I want to be retro. Cost is a big one because some of the multi-blades are very expensive. And then if you have issues, because sometimes those multi-blades will irritate the skin, you know, and also some of the shaving products, the creams, things like that will irritate people's skin. So most of what we have comes from Europe.
Okay.
They've been around a couple hundred years, tried and true, really high quality products.
From your entrepreneurial lens, why is it so important for you to support men and families through your business each day?
You know, we just find it really special when especially families come in and, you know, and the guys are like, oh, man, this store is for me, you know. And again, we have a selection in one space that you would have to go to about 10 different stores to find those things. I've taken a lot of time personally to use the products, and you know, many don't make it; they don't pass the Steve test.
Mm-hmm.
But I want stuff that's high quality, and we really We pay attention to guys. Guys have a different shopping style, and we respect that.
Yeah. Sometimes we just buy. We don't shop. Just give me this. Give me that.
Exactly. Done. Yep. Yeah. And we respect that. We kind of leave you alone. And one of the things I wanted to do when we developed, you know, how we operate is, you know, we're not in a suit following you around, you know, like certain men's stores. We've all had that experience, you know, especially when you're young and you're buying a suit.
Yeah.
We introduce ourselves, let you know, hey, you looking for anything? And I listen. That's one of my biggest things. And we have really great success with helping people get that special thing.
We're talking with Steve Nelson, the owner of Wingman. Finally, Steve, what's a lesson from either fatherhood or business ownership that has really taught you on, locked in on success? Like, how have you found success through your entrepreneurial lens?
Yeah, big question there.
Yes.
I don't know that I've found it. I'm still seeking it. You know, some of the books that we have really been helpful for me in that. But through the health journey in particular, it took me out from engaging with my family. Hmm. And, you know, I try to have products that set dads up to engage with their children and families. Mm-hmm. So again, the relationship books, a lot of guys need some help in communication, you know, conflict resolution, things like that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's that. But even just as simple as a pocket knife, you know, to get your first Swiss Army knife with your kid, like that's an experience, or your grandkid, to make those connections and to really engage with your family. We have a lot of families coming in, and we feel special to be able to host them.
Very good. Building community through commerce. That's a wonderful thing. I wish you all the best. Can't wait to see how Wingman continues to evolve. Enjoy the weekend, and let's do this again soon.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thanks. Thankful for our partnership with Horicon Bank. They're doing banking differently. Always there to serve you and your business.